Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, on this program, just 1 week ago, right now, millions of people, as you remember, were lining up. You may have been among that number who had either gone enough to a place where they could see the total eclipse, but or observing it from online, but millions were looking upward. They were looking to the sky to get a glimpse of that great American eclipse. And I think for those who were there, it was something really to behold and never to forget. Now here, 1 week later, just 1 week later, August the 28th, all eyes around the nation are not looking up, but they're looking down, or at least over, as 11 trillion, over 11 trillion tons of water, with an expected 25 plus trillion tons of water, are being dumped on Southeast Texas from Hurricane Harvey. We'll discuss more about the impact of this storm because it is extensive, it is historic in many, many regards, and it's going to be a long time, I think, before we actually get our hands around what's actually happening. So our theme today is going to be America underwater. America underwater, but a little bit of a twist, physically and spiritually. And to help us discuss this broader theme of spiritually underwater, we're going to invite in Bill Koenig in a little bit, our White House correspondent, founder of World Watch Daily News, and the watch.org website. Now, we're going to discuss the upcoming rally in Washington that is planned by certain religious leaders today, matter of fact, leaders who plan a, as they say, a moral rebuke to the Trump presidency. We're going to discuss these things and a lot more today on Stand in the Gap Today. And with this introduction, I'd like to welcome you, all of our listeners across this country, to another week of Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr, joined today by Dave Kistler, and as I mentioned, White House correspondent Bill Koenig, our special guest throughout the program today. Well, Dave, let me go back to you here, because every news broadcast all over is talking about what is happening in D.C. Last week, you led the program on this day, and you entitled it Signs in the Skies. And we talked about the eclipse, which was the dominating news of that day, and while it was truly exciting as an astronomical event, we went a little different direction and considered that event perhaps not as a celebratory party event, but perhaps as a God-directed warning to the American people. Then just 2 days after that, a little discussed off of the stage, tropical depression in the Gulf of Mexico seemingly sprang to life, seemingly out of nowhere, as many people are saying it, into an unprecedented event bearing the descriptions of biblical proportions to storm from hell. So there's all kinds of big names being assigned to this as we continue to look at it. But Dave, I want to go to you. I'd like for you to give me your evaluation. You just came back from a evangelistic preaching trip to the West Coast. You've been considering, we've talked a lot on this program, but as this thing continues to unfold, in particular in connection to what we talked about last Monday, how are you analyzing this unprecedented event with what we talked about here on Monday of last week, which was really an equally unprecedented event?
Well, Sam, to be honest with you, I have family that was down in the Texas area, Corpus Christi, that rode the storm out. They stayed at home. So this was a very personal thing to me. It was actually part of my wife's family, but it's a family member that's very close to us. And so I've been watching it with keen interest. But Sam, here's the thing. Nahum 1:3 says, "The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind, the clouds are the dust of his feet." So obviously God works and he manifests himself. He speaks, if you will, through weather events, be that an event like this or an astronomical event like the eclipse of last Monday. Sam, there's a lot of directions I could go. There's a lot of things I could say. But what to me is interesting is that the storm went north of Corpus Christi, which was the predicted landfall area, to an area that did not have a lot of population. It was not a heavily populated area. I think it's called Rockport, Texas. There's not a lot of people that live there. But now it was not a wind event primarily. It was not a storm surge event primarily. It is now a rain event because of the way it's hit a high pressure and it just spin over the state of Texas, dumping most of this rain, Sam, on the city of Houston. Now, this is not something anybody's talking about, but Sam, do you remember 2 years ago, 2014, when Anise Parker, the mayor of Houston, demanded the sermons of pastors in the Houston area?
I do,
and,
Dave.
And, you know, then, of course, in 2015, those pastors sued her. So, you know, is God trying to say something through this? Obviously, we should say, you know, what can we learn from it? Is there something God's trying to teach us? But I just find all of this to be very, very interesting. Two major events. One astronomical, the other weather-related in 1 week. We can't ignore that.
I don't think we can either, Dave, and particularly, we're going to get into some of the impacts of what this means in the next segment, but it is significant. It's record-shattering in every regard, and I think how we interpret this when we consider this event, and now this, Houston, the fourth largest metropolitan city in the nation, and having that connection, Dave, as you cited. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk more about this in that next segment. But I want to go in and bring in right now, if I can, Bill Koenig, who's on the line as well. And Bill, before we get into specifics, you are also an evangelist. You are a White House correspondent. You know scripture. You and I have not talked about this, but I'd like to get your overall response to what is happening, these things that you've been hearing us talking about right now, and how are you interpreting and believe the people of America should be interpreting what we're seeing unfolding, not just in Texas this week, but tied into Monday if you want. Just put it together if you could. I'm very interested in what you think.
Well, we're living in a very disruptive period of time. I've never seen anything quite like it. I've been serving at the White House 16 and a half years, and this is a very divisive time. We've heard the word civil war from Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage, Pat Buchanan, and others. There's just a very much a concern about that happening in America. Here's Al Sharpton doing his pastor's thing, and he's basically, unfortunately, a race hustler. He is always involved in these kind of things to promote his cause. At the same time, you have Valerie Jarrett, who was and probably still is Barack Obama's closest advisor, that's going to be part of this. And then you see the comments of Joe Biden this weekend about this is a battle for the soul of America. Well, Joe, you say you're a devout Catholic. You favor abortion. We've had over 50 million young children slaughtered in their mother's wombs. You have been an active backer of LGBTQ and same-sex marriage. So, you know, you're not the guy. You're not the kind of guy. This isn't the kind of soul we want to see America.
All right. Well, Bill Koenig, ladies and gentlemen, that was Bill Koenig. That's Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr here today on Stand in the Gap Today. You've heard some touch points on what we'll be developing throughout the balance of this program. We're going to talk about America underwater physically here this segment, and next we're going to come back and talk about the direct impacts expected from what's happening in Texas, connected to some dots there, and then we're going to balance and come talk about the march in Washington and America being underwater spiritually. You need to hear the program. Stay with it. We'll be right back.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, the physical impacts of this continuing and developing storm is still happening in Texas. It has not yet been fully quantified, ladies and gentlemen. No one has been able to get their hands around the full extent of the damage of what is taking place, and it will frankly take weeks, if not yet months, before the real economic cost is totaled. But into this, though, are other developing impacts that we must consider. And to help us with that is Bill Koenig. He's White House correspondent, president of World Watch Daily, and I'll put in there and recommend this his website highly. Great website, very easy to remember, watch.org. Just watch.org, and you can find that. So, Bill, let me officially now invite you into the program here on Stand in the Gap Today. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Sam.
Bill, I'd like to get your perspective on this scenario that's unfolding here in Texas. Let's just talk about it a little bit. And if you don't mind, let me just put before our listeners just a few, some of the salient points, at least, that stand out to me. First of all, there's an economic tag, a price tag that I've seen it estimated. It was done before. It was before all of the extensive water damage in Houston, and that price tag sits around $40 billion. $40 billion, and it was estimated at that point that it would be, could be, the single most expensive economic price tag event in the country. So you got one thing hanging out there, a massive economic bill. I mean, for the insurance companies to take and to repay all of this by themselves, I'm telling you, it's going to be a big issue. That's one. Number two, Houston is the fourth largest metropolitan city in the nation. So it's a big area population, a lot impacted. Third number I thought was interesting, the rainfall. Is being not, it's in inches, yeah, it's up to about 50 inches, which is an incredible amount, but some are saying, put it in terms of weight, 11 trillion tons of water expected to go over 25 to 27 trillion tons of water. Now, to put that in perspective is that if you were to take all of that water and put it across the face, the surface of all of the states, of the 48 lower states, take out Alaska, take out Hawaii, and put it across all of the lower 48 contiguous states, it would be just about 0.2 inches of water over all of that. I mean, it's hard to get your hands around it. FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Association, already is saying that they're going to be on the ground there in that area for the next 3 to 4 years. So, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, we're talking something that really truly has not been there. Bill, let me come back to you now specifically for your commentary here. Are we as a nation at this point, Bill, do you think that we have gotten a grip of really the extent of this? And how do you say we're responding? Are we responding as a nation properly to this? And this factor into it, nation, and then as a church, as the church in America, as a nation, is our response appropriate for what we see happening before us?
Well, Sam, you know, in my book, Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel, that is being updated now, will be available September 7th. We've had $175 billion events since October of 1991, according to NOAA. It's $175 billion events. And in my book, I talk about the consequences of dividing the land of Israel. And I notice the greater the pressure on Israel to divide their land, the greater the corresponding catastrophes. And of that 175 events, 100, just over 100, have a corresponding relationship to U.S. pressure by the White House on Israel to give up Judea, Samaria, and East Jerusalem for an Arab state. And what was happening last week, President Trump's people, his son-in-law, Kushner, his attorney, Greenblatt, and his deputy national security advisor, Dina Powell, were in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, Jordan, and Egypt. And at every stop, the focus is on Israel-Palestinian conflict. And then he had his meetings with the Palestinians and the Israelis. And the concept was, you were to give up land. This is the idea. Despite the fact that President Trump is very favorable to Israel, that you are supposed to give up land. In other words, you're supposed to give up covenant land for the sake of a peace deal between Israel and the Palestinians. Sam, at the time that a boss, let me put it this way, Kushner arrived in Jerusalem on the 23rd. This event, Hurricane Harvey, had been a tropical storm previously in the Tropical Depression, but for 3.5 days, it had been a remnant and dormant and non-existing. And all of a sudden, when Kushner arrives in Jerusalem, a tropical depression formed. At the time he's arriving in Israel, by that night it was tropical storm Harvey, and within 24 hours it was Hurricane Harvey. And that afternoon he had a meeting with the boss stating that President Trump had committed within 2 to 3 months of sponsoring a peace event, of getting Israel and the Palestinians together to try to cut a peace deal. And that's when that hurricane jumped from Category 1 to 2 to 4 immediately. So this is what I watch, and that's my take on it. And Houston is, unfortunately, it's taken a brunt of it, but they have for the last few years. And the land for peace process started by President Bush's father, who's a resident of Houston, and for various other reasons that were mentioned earlier in the program. Houston has had unprecedented flooding for the last few significant years, 10, 15, 20 years.
Bill, let me ask you this question. This is Dave, and I find it to be very intriguing. In fact, Sam and Gary and I have noted in times past that when we've had catastrophic events like Katrina and others, we've connected them to the very thing that you're talking about, the United States government pressing Israel to give up more land. But let me just ask you this. I want to just turn away from that for just a second, because Sam was referencing the cost that this could ultimately be for the federal government. Are you hearing any kind of conversations in Washington, D.C.? Because right now the state of Texas is one of the most successful states, one of the most financially prosperous states, hence in the best situation to absorb at least some of the cost of this event. Are you hearing any kind of breakdown as to what the federal government's response is going to be versus the state of Texas's response?
Well, let me put it in this perspective. I was a resident of Dallas for 22 years before I moved to Washington almost 17 years ago. I love Texas. My family from Austin. I love the state. There are so many believers throughout the state. There are many pro-Israel people, Christians, throughout the state of Texas, and many in Houston and Dallas and even in West Texas. It's a wonderful state. And Texas has been blessed with an enormous amount of money during this oil boom the last 8 years. They have very sufficient reserves. They have a resilient, can-do attitude. And, obviously Houston with their, lesbian marriage, his sermons of Christian pastors in Houston, and the direction that city's gone has been perplexing to a lot of us. But with all of that said, they are still trying to put their arms around this. This is an enormous event. They were even saying this morning this could, in terms of cost of insured losses and not insured losses and U.S. government losses, this could possibly be up there in the realm of the Katrina, Hurricane Sandy cost. I mean, if anywhere from Hurricane Sandy up to Katrina, this is an enormous event. And when you're talking about the figures we're hearing, 450,000 people will have to receive help from FEMA. 30,000 people are going to need temporary residents. Texas took a bunch of the Katrina refugees in. Texas was took more than any other state. So a lot of states have been blessed by Texas's generosity. New York, California, Florida are sending people in. And, Samaritan's Purse and a lot of these other wonderful ministries, Southern Baptist and others, will be down there doing it, Gary. So, this is so big and so enormous and likely going to last for a couple more days. We still don't have a handle on this, but I can tell you what, there are some good folks down there. It's tragic. We keep praying for the people in Texas. And also, God works in mysterious ways. And I just pray that many, many people will come to Jesus through this experience.
Absolutely, Bill. We agree with that. And, Bill, we're having a little bit of difficulty with your signal. It's going in and out. I'm just going to ask you publicly right now at the break here coming up, if you could just call back in. Let's try it again. But, ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing some commentary here. The impact of what we're seeing in Washington or in Texas, as Bill said and as Dave and I've commented on, is of such a magnitude. It's going to be a long time before we ultimately find that full impact, but let it be stated, it is significant, and a country even of our size, ladies and gentlemen, can only take certain amount of economic hits. And when a nation is in such great debt as we are, these things do make a difference. I would submit that you're going to hear more about the connecting of these dots probably in the weeks ahead. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk and shift gears more from the nation being underwater physically. We're going to talk about it being underwater spiritually. We're going to talk about Joe Biden and his battle for the soul of a nation. What's he talking about? And we're going to talk about the religious leaders' march in Washington right now, talking about a moral rebuke to the president. Really? Al Sharpton? We'll talk more when we come back.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are glad that you are with us today. All eyes across the nation are on the news. They're looking what's happening in the Houston area, as rightly they should, and we should. We're trying to cover this issue today, not only from the standpoint of what's actually happening there, its economic impact and its long-term impact as a result physically of that water on the ground, but also we're going to try and turn in this segment now and talk about the application of the spiritual aspect of America. Our guest today is Bill Koenig, Washington correspondent. We've had some interaction with him. And then Dave Kistler and myself are on the program today. We've been tying together all last week following the eclipse a week ago from today, saying, is this God's warning to America? And we said that, yes, historically, those kinds of eclipses of the sun have, in fact, been warnings to nation. It was a warning to Nineveh before Jonah went in. It was a warning to Europe right before the beginning of World War I. It was a warning to the United States just before the outbreak of the great flu epidemic. And then it was now here again across coast to coast in our nation. Should we not consider that God, in his mercy, is warning this nation? Well, here now we have an event that has come up, not expected, much bigger than anybody's talking about it. And, you know, I find it interesting, Dave, that people talk about these kinds of things and assign biblical terms to them. Biblical proportions is what the Weather Service is saying. And as others have been saying, hell storm, not hail storm, but hell storm, Houston hell storm is what many of them are saying. They pull out biblical terms, but they have, in my opinion, they have no application, no understanding of that. But it does bring up the spiritual component of how people automatically, unconsciously somewhat factored in. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to the program and just joining us, you are listening to Stand in the Gap today. We take a different approach on the news altogether. We take an approach from exactly what it is, from a truth perspective, biblical perspective, and we factor it in constitutionally. Help us to understand how to think about these things. And that's why we're going this direction. If you are just listening for the first time or need a reminder, you can pick up this program on our archives form by going to standinthegapradio.com. We give that regularly, but remember that. If you have not downloaded our app, please do that. Free app, iPhone or Android. Just put in Stand in the Gap, that phrase, Stand in the Gap, and you can download and you can listen to these programs, which many hundreds and hundreds are doing at your convenience. I want to encourage you to do that, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to also put out here right now at this point as we get going further, as we shift between the physical to the spiritual. Everyone, it seems, has a sense. The very fibers of our national fabric are being stretched on this program. We look at it through those lenses, Scripture of and Constitution. And I want to shift now and bring in two examples of why we should be thinking this way. Dave, I want to go to you first, because as we cited earlier in the program, Joe Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden, wrote an article which came out yesterday in The Atlantic and some other papers, and it had the title of this, quote, "We are living through a battle for the soul of this nation," end quote. We are living through a battle for the soul of this nation. As far as I'm concerned, Dave, Joe Biden is right. I'm not sure I agree with him on anything else. However, a couple of the comments that he's saying is he picked up. He connects it to Charlottesville. He talks about we saw the truth in America and courage to stand up and oppose certain things and stand for things. He brought up Boston, but he went right to the president. And he said the president, his contempt for the U.S. Constitution, his willingness to divide the nation knows no bounds. Then he brought up the fact, he said, now he's pardoned a law enforcement official, Sheriff Aparo. Biden says, terrorize the Latin community, and goes on. And he talks about these things, and he's saying, we have to stand up now and uphold America's values. And he's calling on Americans to do that, and essentially putting himself out there to lead it. Amazing. Dave, question for you. Do you believe there's a battle underway for the soul of America? And do you believe that Joe Biden is in any way appropriately hitting the points of what that moral divide is? And can he help address that?
Well, Sam, there is a moral struggle for the soul of our nation, but the guy to lead the charge is not Joe Biden. It is not any of these characters. Joe Biden is the guy who has used profanity, caught on hot mic situations. I mean, the worst of the worst. And to critique President Trump for pardoning Joe Arpaio, when we have had presidents of the past pardon people who were, I mean, literal criminals. I mean, Sam, this is laughable. This is absolutely laughable for Joe Biden to say this kind of thing. I mean, are you kidding me? Joe Biden's going to be the moral compass for the United States of America? Are you joking? I mean, this is laughable.
But Dave, on the other hand, you would agree with the fact that we are in a battle for the soul of this nation, right?
Sam, absolutely. I mean, I agree with that completely. We're in a battle for it, but the guy that's going to lead the charge to try to correct or try to lead us toward moral clarity being Joe Biden, are you kidding me?
And I fully agree with you, Dave, and I'm saying, boy, oh boy, there is a sense. Even those who are rejectors of God himself and his moral truth know that there's an issue. That's why we've been saying all along this program for weeks and months, ladies and gentlemen, you can sense it just like we can sense it. Question is, are we going to look to the God of heaven for our answers, or are we going to look to the God of government? And this is the heart of it. And with that, I want to bring back now in Bill Koenig, because Bill, there's another individual right now who's having putting together a march, I think, happening perhaps as we speak in Washington, D.C., who's pulling down this concept of spiritual aspect. And he's saying that they are leading a march as a moral rebuke to the president, picking up right off of what Joe Biden's talking about, I want you to talk about, again, what is this march? Who's leading it? And do these guys have any more understanding of what it takes to solve the moral problems in this country? Or anyways, lay it out for us, because I think people need to hear this.
Well, Al Sharpton, Reverend Al Sharpton, I don't know where he ever got the name Reverend, but he is the one leading the parade. I mean, this guy, for the lack of a better term, is a race hustler. Every time something like Ferguson or any other event around America, Baltimore, Ferguson, Florida, you know, he's always there and makes a big, big deal out of it. And the fact that Obama's top aide, senior aide, Valerie Jarrett, is part of this parade speaks volumes about Obama's good buddy, Sharpton, and the motive of this group. When you look at what Sharpton is doing and what Biden has said, this Antichrist opposition force is more prevalent than ever before, and that's why when you have some of the major radio commentary people across America, Limbaugh, Savage, Pat Buchanan, and others saying, you know, we're moving toward a civil war, and I think a lot of us, unfortunately, sense that, Sam. I mean, it is so divisive, and 80-90% of the media that I work with are the ones that are adding the fuel to this fire, just like they do with racial issues that have happened. Some necessary, others, they completely put fuel on fire and made them much worse than they've ever been, and they are right there. They're doing everything they can to discredit this president and his presidency and the evangelicals and the Christians that support him. It is a war for the soul of America, but it's also been an Antichrist spirit. A good friend of mine, Pastor Ray Bentley, has emphasized in recent sermons. This is what we're dealing in America with in America, and that also helps us better understand the times we're living in.
Bill, let me ask you this. My son is in Washington, D.C. In fact, he and I have been in correspondence back and forth by phone several times already today. He has brought nothing to my attention about this march in D.C. today. The fact that Al Sharpton, as you said, is the one leading the charge, I mean, that in and of itself is laughable. But he's trying to get 1,000 pastors there, and that's it? I mean, how effective really is a march with just 1,000 people? I mean, there are marches that draw 500,000 people and get a little bit of attention, you know, or virtually no attention. How much is this going to do with just 1,000 pastors?
Well, I think 1,000 is probably, he's probably hoping he can get 1,000. I think that's part of it, Dave, the reason for that figure. The second thing is pastors to support this guy. It supports same-sex marriage, LGBTQ, abortion. I don't know for a fact, but it's kind of a trend amongst these people. And, you know, how can any pastor support Sharpton some of the things that he's done? I mean, you really begin to question that. And that's why I cringe at times when people call themselves a pastor or a reverend and stand for policies that are totally anti-Bible, that are an abomination to our Lord. And unfortunately, there's a lot of confusion right now on Christians, who's a Christian, who's not a Christian. And this is a real battle between conservative Christians that believe the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation and those that are not following the same book that we are, the Bible.
Bill, I think that's a great, great point. And Dave, I want to go back to you just a little bit remaining here. We talk a lot about you got to define the terms. You've got to define the terms, because when a Biden uses the word truth and a Sharpton uses the word truth and we use the word truth according to the Bible, it's not the same. Same thing with preachers. They're all different types. Dave, comments.
Well, I think Bill summed it up about as well as it could be said. I was thinking exactly what you were saying, Sam. Excellent statement. Sam, these guys are humanists. Like we're talking about Joe Biden, he's a humanist. And so if man is the determining factor, as humanists believe, then Joe's going to define truth the way he believes as a human it should be. He is not going to go to God's word, which is what Bill was saying.
And ladies and gentlemen, therein is a part of what we bring on this program. You've got to go back to moral truth, the words of Scripture, to find out how to understand what's going on. When we come back, we're going to talk about solutions from getting out from under this water, this being underwater spiritually in this nation, because clearly the examples we gave is an indication that a lot of people are underwater. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we always do, or try to do anyways, on the last portion of the program, because this hour goes by so very, very quickly, we try to move into solution stage. And we love to take questions, calls from our listeners, and we know that many of you would like to do that. It's just tough to do that. But can I ask you right now, if you're listening and you say, man, I wish I could get in there and pose a question, can I give you a number right now? I want you to call and leave your comment. And hopefully at one point we'll get up further as the program grows, we can have more calls. But take this number down right now. I'm going to give it at the end as well. But 484-484-855-0357. That's 484-855-0357. That number is a direct number. You can leave your comment. That's our comment line for Stand in the Gap Today. Go there, please, and leave your comment. Good, bad, indifferent. Pose a question. We'll pick it up, and we'll deal with it tomorrow. All right, Bill and Dave, let's go back here now and just talk about this. We've talked about getting out from under the water. Physically, that's going to take time down there in Houston. We know weeks, months for things to happen. But we also been talking about being underwater spiritually in this nation. When we have those who profess to be preachers, like an Al Sharpton, I'm going to say that profess, because they do not manifest a biblical interpretation of what it means to be a preacher. When these folks stand up and use the word moral and moral rebuke, and a Joe Biden who embraces LGBT and abortion and the antithesis of what God's truth is and stands up and says that he's concerned about the moral fiber of our country and battle for the soul of America. Man, this is very, very concerning when those who reject God, His truth, His word, stand up and purport to be the leaders that can, in fact, bring us to the point of unity. It's not possible for them to do it. But, Bill, I want to go to you, because it is possible for unity to be obtained. It is possible if it's done the right way. From your perspective, if you were a doctor, and this nation was the patient, and they came to you for a diagnosis and for a prescription, Bill, what's the biblical prescription for what the need is for getting out from under the spiritual water speak of this nation right now? What would you say?
You know, Sam, it gets back to Judeo-Christian principles in our life. when we started moving away from the Word, and the further away from the Word, the greater the propensity to error. And the greater the propensity to error, you move into times of anarchy and lawlessness and confusion and division and, you know, whatever, you know, no accountability for anybody's beliefs or thoughts. And unfortunately, the secular humanistic media that we have, if your positions are in opposition to our beliefs of the, in the Word of God, then you're going to get a platform, much greater platform than you would if you were a evangelical conservative Christian that had a healthy and wise fear of the Lord. You couldn't get any attention, or you could get very little media attention. Unfortunately, right now, we have 67% of the Presbyterians who believe in same-sex marriage. That was according to a recent Pew Research poll. The Catholics is in the high 50s. So high 50s, 64 to 67 for the Protestants, and the high 50s for the Catholics. Evangelicals gone up from 20 to about 28% now. So there is a pretty good statistic that kind of gives you an idea of just how far we have strayed from the biblical truth of what we have been taught in the Word of God.
All right, Bill. So effectively what you have said is that we must return to the Word of God as the source of truth, as the source for the definition of when we say moral, when we say truth, when we say unity, we must go there. And to that, we would heartily, heartily agree. Dave, let me go to you. I want your perspective right now also on this, because take and expand upon what Bill has stated. Let's go to what the average person who's listening to the program can do. They say, well, you know, I'm not in office. I'm not a pastor. Can I have any real input? Dave, if you look at what's happening, for those who are listening, is the future of America resting on the back of an Al Sharpton and a Biden who've rejected God? Is it sitting on the back of those who say, I am a Christian, I am a believer in Jesus Christ? Delineate how this should go, if you could, and then let's go that way, okay?
The answer to America's ills is with those who believe the Bible and are committed to what the Scripture teaches with respect to salvation, with what the Scripture teaches with respect to any issue. And Sam, I want to say this. God has never needed and never really used the majority. He has always used a minority or a remnant of people. And Sam, what I am seeing, it's certainly not everywhere in America, but I have been able to see in the last number of months some phenomenal things across the country where there is a remnant who are incredibly serious with God. I just came from some meetings out in the Northwest where people are incredibly serious about their walk with God. They're humbling themselves. They're repenting. They're seeking God's face. All the Second Chronicles 7:14 elements are there. And Sam, that's where the future of the country lies. In those that turn back to God, those of us that believe the Bible, those of us that are committed to following a biblical worldview, if we will repent and turn back to the Lord, there is hope for this nation. Is the hope going to be found in the likes of Al Sharpton or Joe Biden? Absolutely not.
Dave, just a quick question for you. I want you to answer this in another minute, and then I want you to close us in prayer today. You know, this nation prayed hard before the election last fall. And we do believe that because of the turnout of Christian people that God heard and gave us a reprieve. But remember, we were saying a reprieve. We don't know for how long. Do you think that the church in America, the Christian people, actually woke up? Or perhaps are we in the same position we were prior to the election last year?
Sam, I think there was a little bit of a waking up. I think we saw some of this in the 80s. And sometimes, you know, spiritual movements are paralleled by political movements. If you study history, I think there was an awakening in the 80s with after the Jimmy Carter presidency. We saw our country on the precipice of all kinds of moral degradation and just literally going over the fall, so to speak, into the abyss. And so there was an awakening that took place, prayer, diligent prayer. The moral majority came out of that time frame. Now, Sam, we're back there again. And leading up to this election, there was more serious prayer than I'd seen in a long time. So, Sam, I think there was a little bit of an awakening. What cannot happen, though, right now is that we abandon what got us to the point that we are now, and that is earnest supplication and diligent prayer. So, you know, we've got to keep that up.
Well, I'm going to ask you to do that right now. Lead us in fervent prayer right now as we close the program out.
Father, I want to thank you that we have a roadmap called the Bible that gives us the answer to every issue that we face as individuals and, Lord, certainly even that nations face. And, Father, I thank you that there are across this country pockets where people are literally waking up. And, Lord, they're seeking you with a vengeance. Lord, I know that took place leading up to the elections, but, Lord, it's still taking place around the country. I pray that that would increase. I pray, oh, God, that we, your people, would turn to you with a vengeance. Lord, you'd have mercy upon us, and your church would be revived. And, Lord, as a result, our nation would be impacted, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. We thank our special guest, Bill Koenig, White House correspondent, his website, watch.org. And again, go to our website, ladies and gentlemen, and you can pick up this program there and listen to this in its entirety once again. Until tomorrow, 23 hours from now, would you make it a point, ladies and gentlemen, go before the Lord in prayer, on your knees, stand up and stand in the gap for truth where you are. May God bless you. Have a great day.
Enjoy listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.